Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to Waves of Glory with Apostle EJ, and I am your Marketplace Apostle this morning. Want to say thank you for tuning in to Waves of Glory, where today we are going to be discussing purpose. We are going to be talking about that which you were created to do. And we know that purpose is vital to our very existence. Research shows today that many of our juvenile delinquents are such because they do not have a sense of purpose. When one does not understand their purpose for being, life can seem futile and empty. To be successful in life, truly successful, you must be aligned with the purposes of God for which you were created. Then and only then will you experience the fullness of life as you desire and deserve. There is something in this life that you were created to do specifically. And we were supposed to have a special guest in our studio this morning in the person of Apostle Gloria D. Hopkins out of Chicago, Illinois. She's not been able to call in thus far, but we're going to continue to bless the Lord. Amen. We're going to continue to just allow God to have his way with us. Glory to his name. We praise him right now. We thank the Lord. We believe that that's Apostle calling in right now. So let's take the time out to welcome her.
God bless you. This is Apostle.
Good morning, Apostle. We bless you today.
Good morning. Good morning.
Absolutely. We are so glad to have you in our studio this morning. This is a powerful woman of God coming to us out of Chicago, Illinois, in the person of Apostle Gloria Dean Hopkins. And I'm just going to turn the mic over to you for a few seconds here so that you can introduce yourself to the community at large and let them know who you are and what it is that God is doing through you.
Oh, my God. I tell you, I am just honored on this morning to be with you. I'm excited about what God is doing in this season. God has called me to the apostleship in this hour to take a stand in the apostolic so I can go forth and set up platforms to empower, to embrace, because there is a word in my belly. I tell you, the prophetic voice is just present at this hour, and I'm speaking into the lives of those things that are dead. Those things are becoming to look like they're dead. Those things that have no life. God has given me the grace to speak life into dead situation. And I thank God for purpose on today, because I believe that we are all destined to go to a place and purpose that God has beckoned us to. And I'm just excited to be a part of this platform. You have stirred me up, Apostle EJ, and I'm telling you, I'm excited and I'm on fire for God.
That is beautiful. I'm so glad today to be talking about purpose, because it is one of my most favorite things to talk about and to teach and to tell the people of God, show them how easy it is to know and understand their purpose. And as you are introducing yourself this morning, it is very clear to us that you have a good handle on the purposes for which God has called you this morning. Our topic specifically today is practicing purpose perfectly. Practicing purpose perfectly. And everybody, every single human being has been created specifically with something in mind that God has ordained them to do. And the easiest way I know for a person to discover what their purpose is simply this: ask God what your purpose is. And when we think about it, every product ever produced comes with instructions from the manufacturer. If you purchase an iron, if you purchase a microwave, even if you purchase a car, there are some instructions that come with that particular thing, because it has been created for a purpose and it is designed to function according to the manufacturer's instructions. And we as people have also been created by a manufacturer called our Creator, and we have come with a distinct set of instructions. I think about the time most people, especially in this age when you get a brand new cell phone, the i5, the i6, the i7, every time there's a new device come out, we run and we purchase this new device because we want to be on the cutting edge of technology. We buy it, we pull it out of the box, and we throw the instructions to the side and start trying to figure out how to use this device. And after we've made a complete and utter mess of it, we are now totally frustrated. We do one of two things, and that is we're going to hand it over to somebody we think that knows what they're doing. That's the first mistake we make. We think they know what they're doing, and so we hand over our device to them for them to do the same thing that we were just doing. Likewise, we sometimes as people hand over our life purpose to other people to tell us what it is that God has designed for us to do. What do you think about that, Apostle?
Yes, and I'm in agreement with you, and I was just praying about that early last week. It's because sometimes we're called into a place by way of our passion, and then sometimes we don't realize that that is only just for a season. But sometimes God will birth our purpose out of your misery. And I think sometimes we get misdirected because sometimes we lose sight of actually what God is doing. Because what we're actually being called to, sometimes it don't look like God, if I can say that.
Right.
Sometimes it looks
absolutely
abstract. And so when we get unfocused to the fact that sometimes God will call you to a place of purpose just out of your misery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one thing. We'll probably talk a little bit about that a little later, how we try to hide what we've been through to cover our hurt or to cover our disappointment or to cover our shame. And that is the very thing that God wants to use to bring glory to his name.
Yes,
the
hallelujah.
Second thing we do, if we don't hand our device over to somebody, then we finally decide, you know what, I better go back and read the instructions. And so then we go back and we pull out the instructions and we try to follow along just as the manufacturer has said. And life is a product of the hand of God, which comes with those instructions. And so what we need to do as a people, what we should always do is stay connected to the vine. Whatever situation, whatever life circumstance comes, we need to stay right connected to the vine so that we can begin to produce fruit out of that. If we don't know where to go, then we ask God where to go. If we don't know what to do, then we ask him what to do, because he wants us to know his will for our lives. It is not difficult in the natural sense to discover our purpose. And so I'm going to ask you and the people today to remember when you were about 5 or 6 years old and someone would ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up. What was your answer? That was purpose speaking up, even at a very young age, because we are pre-programmed with purpose. When the Lord said that to me, we come pre-programmed with purpose. I think again about that phone. Everything that it needs to do is programmed into it. We call them apps and settings and all of that stuff. And if you tap on the particular icon, the purpose is going to pop up for that particular icon or that particular feature of that device. And so God wants us to understand that we, too, are pre-programmed with purpose. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And all it takes is for us to tap the icon. And to get that, and we do that by getting on our knees and getting in the presence of God. I've got a question for the audience today and for our apostle in this studio. And this is another way to discover purpose. What is your soapbox topic or something that really gets your goat? When you start talking about this thing, it really gets your blood pumping. What do you say to that, Apostle Hopkins?
I want to say it's ironic that you said that, because I want to say the haves and the have-nots. Did that make
elaborate.
Sense?
Yeah, elaborate. Yeah, elaborate.
It's
that
case where when we're destined to do a work for God, we're always looking at the fact of what is in our hand. So we look at the people that have and we look at the people that have not. And sometimes it looks like the people without purpose have more than the people without that has purpose to operate in. And sometimes it's hard setting forth a platform when you look like you need to operate out of purpose, but then there's no resources there. So I'm battling the realm of two worlds, I have and I have not. I have the ability, I have the purpose, I have the design, but sometimes the resources are not there.
Okay, that is excellent. Thank you, Apostle. Because when you say the haves and the have-nots, The thing that God in this season is speaking to me about is connecting the women of God who are in ministry with God's provision for his vision. He has given me a divine mapped out strategy of how to show us, our sisters in ministry, how to tap into the resources that are within as well as the resources that are out there in the marketplace. And upcoming in this month, we're going to be launching a program called the Marketplace Connection. And so we want you and our listening audience to stay tuned for the Marketplace Connection, because it is in this forum that God is going to begin to show us how to monetize our gifts and our talents, how to take purpose and to make a greater impact in our community. And I am so excited for the upcoming Marketplace Connection, because that is my purpose in this season, is showing the women of God, you no longer have to struggle with funding the ministry, and I'm going to show you how to connect God's provision with his vision for your life.
Amen.
Question number three, if you could change anything in the world that makes people's lives miserable, what would it be? If you could change anything, what would it be? Is there a problem in the world that you want to fix? I know that go ahead.
I would just say I was going to just piggyback on something that we discussed earlier. I think it's the sense of knowing who you are.
Okay. And
I think
a lot of people
are laxed in ministry because they really don't know who they are. They're still toiling with the fact of, who am I? And if I don't know who I am, then how can purpose operate out of me?
Absolutely. That is one of the first things that we began discussing in this series, is who am I, establishing your kingdom identity. And so what we will also be offering in the Marketplace Connection is going to be the answer to the keys to success in life. And that's part of why we're doing this series this month, so that first you can know who am I, second you know where did I come from, what is my origin, and today we're discussing what is my purpose. Why did God put me in the earth? Why was I created specifically at the time and in the fashion that he formed me in my mother's womb? God didn't just decide, oh, you need to have a baby, but when he created each of us, there was a specific intent in his mind. The thing, my soapbox topic is generational poverty. I am really tired of seeing people go from poverty to poverty to poverty, poverty, and our children and our children's children suffer the same issues in lack that we suffer as adults, or that our mothers or our grandmothers suffered. And so that's my soapbox thing. And in doing so, God is showing me, along with the Marketplace Connection, which it is a part of the business school he's given me called Success in Life Training Institute. And it's not just to train women, but it will be to train the people of God how to tap into the abundant life that Jesus purchased for us in his coming, dying, and resurrecting. It's absolutely wonderful that this should come up right after the Easter or the resurrection holiday, and Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, and rose again. But this is the key. After the cross, he got a crown. And so we need to understand that we need to move away from the crucifixion and begin to step into ruling and reigning that he purposed for us. Because the scripture said if we die with him, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And people most times think that means when we get to glory, when heaven is here at the second coming. But no, he wants us to reign with him now, because we are seated in heavenly places. And when we reign with him now, that means that we are operating from a place of abundance and not a place of lack, because there is no lack in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And one thing you were saying about the place of our pain, our last question is, what message could you share about your own mess in life? Because purpose is the solution to the world's problems, and we are part of that solution. Each of us has a piece of the solution to the world's problem. And it shows up, like you said, in our trouble. It shows up in our mess. It shows up in our pain. If we would choose to share that pain, what do you think about that?
Amen. I honestly feel that the fact that I wrote the book, the Lord gave me to write a book, Living with Spiritual HIV, Having AIDS, Allowing Insecurity to Dominate My Salvation. And I really feel the fact that I was inadequate in the visions that God had given me because I was not focused. I was sitting up under masters opposed to mentors. And so I got so misdirected in my purpose, and I didn't have a guideline to basically base where I needed to go in the places of God. So I really feel like if I can help somebody understand their real purpose without living in a place of feeling like they're inadequate or they have no right, they have no purpose, they have no voice, if I can raise the standards to let them know there's something down on the inside that you can connect with to rise up to the occasion for God to use you.
Amen. We have to understand that according to the word of God, we have been chosen in the furnace of affliction. When we look at being chosen, sometimes people think being chosen means God just called you out and you stepped up to the front of the line and he just tapped you on the shoulder and put a medal on your chest and sent you out the door. But that is not how we are chosen. The scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. So what is it that causes us to become chosen? The furnace of affliction. And affliction, you know, in the olden days, people would say affliction was when you were sick. But affliction has nothing to do with sickness. Affliction has more to do with trials and the tribulations that come in our lives to try us in the fire and pound us to perfection. It is our afflictions that cause us to be prepared to be broken enough to allow the light of God to shine out of us and to use that light to glorify him. And so I would just like to see the people of God set free from shame over the things that have happened to them or through them, and to know that everything that has happened to you is a part of the process of God fashioning you for his own purpose. We know we like to quote the scripture says, all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. But then we think that's an easy road. Following the road of purpose can be easy, but 9 times out of 10, the preparation for purpose looks very difficult. Each event that we go through is a part of equipping us to fulfill that purpose. When you think about it, think about Job and his affliction. Now we look back on it, and we see Job, and we know why he went through what he went through. But what about, let's put ourselves in Job's place before he knew why he went through what he went through. What do you think he was feeling like when all his children were killed and all his possessions were taken? You know, we have people in ministry now who are homeless, or if they're not homeless, they're close to being evicted or have been evicted, and they're living with family members. So what do you think Job was feeling when he was experiencing all the trouble in life? What do we feel? What do you feel when it seems like everything that you try for God does not get off the ground, or it seems like if it's not one thing, it's another? What is the general consensus of feeling that happens across the border, across the line with every child of God? It's not just necessarily you.
Amen. I know I feel totally rejected and totally shamed. Shame to even lift up my head in trying to work out purpose. How do you work out purpose with your head bowed down? And I tell you, I thank God for the scripture that he is the lifter of my head. But the main thing that has basically grabbed me in ministry and took hold of me being stagnated is the fact that I was ashamed of my struggle, ashamed of the things that I experienced, ashamed of not being accepted, ashamed of not being accepted among my peers. So I always lived in a place of shame, so I never felt like I was good enough. So the fact of getting us to a place of letting people know that there is no shame, that God erased the shame the day that he went to Calvary, I'm just excited the fact that God has raised up this ministry with you, Apostle EJ, that we have to be empowered, especially women in ministry, that we need to connect and stay together.
Absolutely, absolutely. I am so excited for what God is doing in this season because he is just speaking into my spirit that this is the day of the woman. This is the day that he's going to lift up her head. This is the day that he's going to empower her to prosper. This is the day that she will stand on top of the mountain and not at the base. This is the day that she will operate in a sphere of influence among her peers, even among her male peers. And God is going to do that by taking us into the marketplace and causing us to expand, because you know and I know that money gives influence and money opens doors. And the scripture says money answers all things. So what God is going to do to boost women in ministry is to put us in a place of preeminence and power in the marketplace, so that we have a voice to speak in our communities. Because you know, I just often think about when Donald Trump wanted to know where President Barack Obama's birth certificate was. He spoke up to force him to produce his birth certificate. And I'm thinking, what gives Donald Trump the access to demand a birth certificate from the President of the United States? And what gave him that right? Money. The fact that he is influential because of the vast amount of wealth that he wields. His wealth is a sword. It's an open door. It's a trailblazer. And so if you and I had stood up and say, well, we demand to see Barack Obama's birth certificate, it wouldn't even made the news. You understand what I'm saying? So Amen. Money gives influence. God is wanting to raise up the women of God so that they have influence, not just having their needs met and not just having enough to carry the ministry that he's given them, but money enough to impact communities, money enough to change the face of a community, money enough to, claim territory. Because we go about in the realm of the spirit and we are claiming territory, but there's no manifestation in the natural that the territory has been taken over. There are enough broken down neighborhoods all around each of us that we could claim some territory for God and revamp that neighborhood and bring jobs into that neighborhood and bring life, upgrade a lifestyle for the people in that neighborhood and bring training in that neighborhood to bring those people into kingdom wealth. But if we're not exhibiting kingdom wealth ourselves, people are not going to listen to us talk about our religion with God. Come and serve Jesus. Come and serve Jesus. And we're riding down the street with a car duct tape. Now, we know it doesn't matter to God. We know that we're still close to God. We know we're going to make heaven. But God wants us to exhibit heaven on earth. For the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I just don't think there's any propensity for duct tape in heaven.
I love it.
There's no duct tape in heaven. That would make a very good workshop. There's no duct tape in heaven. And God is really stirring me up with these workshops, and he's given me about 20 different workshops to help the women in ministry come into their purpose and ministry leaders. Okay, so now that we understand how simple it is to hear and to see and acknowledge our purpose, what happens next? We surrender to God and say, Lord, since you created me and you fashioned me in your own image, you can use me as you see fit. How then do we practice purpose? How do we practice purpose, Apostle?
I think we practice it just by just getting out there and just getting stirred up. And in other words, don't sit by the bank and continue to wait. Rise up to the occasion and get started. I think we've been hindered because we've been looking at our circumstances in a natural sense. But if we would just launch out and learn how to connect and learn how to network, and you'd be surprised how many people will understand your message just by you getting on a blog, just by you putting the message out there, and you begin to be able to be somewhat of an avenue that God will use for you to reach people that are actually looking for your purpose that God has called you to be in.
Absolutely. There is a specific group of people that are connected to the message that each of us has to bring. And that has been a part of the inability to be effective in ministry, because we haven't been trained that we're called to a specific group. We believe that we're called to the world. Well, if you're called to the whole world, there's nothing for me to do. I can just sit down. But I believe it is Mike Murdoch says that you cannot help everybody because you're not called to everybody. You are called just like you have a specific purpose. There is a specific vein that God wants you to walk in. Your own experiences have qualified you to minister to that group. And I think part of women in ministry is our brethren before us, part of our struggle is that the brethren before us have been mentored, and they have either gone to Bible class or they have a strong male counterpart mentors them and brings them along, whereas women in ministry have not had that in a larger sense, have not had that mentorship. Neither have we had that person to come alongside to support, to guide us, to show us, to explain to us that we're called to a specific group. But in this hour, God is raising up mentors for women in ministry so that we can become effective in the thing that God has called us to do. We can discover where the finances are for the purposes of the vision that God has given us. When we are practicing purpose, we have to stay connected to the vine. Because what, just like you said, God wants us to just get up and get started. The problem is we see the vision in a larger sense, and we think we need to jump up and go huge, but he wants us to take a small step of faith. He doesn't want us to, if he's shown you, like me, he's shown a school of business, a huge school of business with thousands of students. But for me to just jump up and go get a great big building or a campus and try to have a whole school full of students is not practical. And so he says in his word, despise not the day of small beginnings. So look at the vision that God has given you and look at the purpose for which you are called. And then start small. Like you said, you can start a blog. You can have a website. You can do small clips of videos for YouTube, even with that iPhone that we have been talking about today. God has put in our hands everything we need to get started in an effective ministry for him. And so we're going to be sharing things like this in the Marketplace Connection as we get ready to launch this month, sometime near the end of the month. So we're going to be sending out emails, and we're going to be sending out our blog, and we're going to be talking about it here on the radio and whatever avenue that God speaks. When we go in prayer, connected to the vine, he's going to say, do it this way. And so a couple of days ago, he said to me, launch the school of business. And my heart just skipped a beat because I see this huge school, and he said, launch. And so I have to pull in my imagination and begin to understand that to launch means to take the first steps. And so that's what I'm doing as I am saying to the people of God, especially women in ministry, that the Marketplace Connection is coming, and it is coming soon. And God has a huge blessing for you, and something big is about to happen for women in ministry. Secondly, we need to be obedient to the voice of God. Sometimes we fear to step out even in the smallest thing, but God has given us the wisdom to help people overcome the fears that hinder us from going forth in ministry. And then lastly, like you said, tell your story, the story of your transformation, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And when I look at that, it's like always we turn that and say we overcome by the word of our testimony, but somebody else is going to be able to overcome as well. I want to thank you very much, Apostle Hopkins, for being with us here in the studio, and I thank you that you are setting the city and the region in Chicago, Illinois, on fire with the purposes of God for your life. I thank God that you are stepping out in the thing that God has called you to, and no more will you be hindered or hang your head down because, as you said, he is the glory and the lifter of your head.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited. Thank you for having me. I so enjoy your ministry. I pray the Lord's best that doors will open even now as we're speaking, that even this radio program will be able to go into even international and nations, that your voice can be heard in this hour.
Amen. This month, once again, we're going to be launching a new resource called the Marketplace Connection, where our main goal is to connect the women of God with God's provision for the vision he has given them. God is ready to release a wealth transfer. And if you want to know how to position yourself for the coming wealth transfer, subscribe to our blog, Success in Life Training Institute, at blogspot.com, or email us at successinlifeti@gmail.com with your subject line, the Marketplace Connection. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin, along with Apostle Gloria D. Hopkins of Chicago, Illinois. We'll see you next Tuesday right here at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. Our topic will be potential. And remember, you are not just here to be average. You are here to be awesome. God bless you. Thank you, Apostle.
Thank you.